Hey there, we're here again with Tomasz Petrzyk. My name is Seth Juarez from Channel 9. And I thought we'd take a little bit more of a look at some of the higher level things available in F#. We've already talked about why you should work with F#. We talked about sort of just some basic language things. Now we'll talk about higher level things. What are some exciting things in F# that are more higher level that don't necessarily have to do with the language, but kind of are involved in the language?
Yeah. Well, so there's one thing which is new in F# 3.0, mm-hmm. has been there for, I don't know, that's been in Visual Studio 2013, mm-hmm. but still many people haven't seen that before, mm-hmm. and that's type providers.
Okay, so describe what a type provider is.
So it's basically, you can see it as a compiler extension, mm-hmm. that explains the compiler how to work with some external data sources.
I see it.
So you can point it to a database and it will provide types for the database. Uh-huh. You can point it to a REST-based API and it gives you types for that.
So let's take a look at something that'll give us more of a feeling for what it is that it does.
Yeah. So I'm going to start by using the F# data library.
Okay.
And to do that, I'll actually start by creating a new project this time.
Okay.
Because then we can easily reference it using NuGet. I'll just create a tutorial here in demos, and let's call it tutorial one.
Okay.
And once we have that, yeah, there's just a default file. You can read it, but there's not much interesting there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to need this URL later on, so I'll remember it here.
Okay.
But the reason why I started with the tutorial is that we can now go here and just add a NuGet reference. And I'm going to search for F# data.
Okay.
And this is a package built by the community with type providers for JSON, XML, CSV.
Okay.
That's the main thing.
There we go.
It worked.
Okay, so now that you've added it, now you have access to the type provider.
So now it actually added F# data as a reference.
Okay.
But I still like my script files. So what I'm going to do here, and F# script file is really independent of the project.
Got it.
So what I'm going to do here is just find in my packages the F# data DLL,
mm-hmm.
and paste it in here using #r. Now it asks me if I want to enable the type provider, because there's actually some code running there in Visual Studio.
So you can make your own type provider.
Definitely.
Looks like. This is just sort of the default type provider that works with specific types of data?
So this is a library with type providers that, and we'll see that in a minute. Mm-hmm. You can give them a sample JSON, mm-hmm. or sample XML, and it produces types for that.
Okay.
But equally, there's lots of other type providers that people have written for things like SQL or other databases, for the Azure table storage, mm-hmm. as well. There's lots of silly type providers as well that people done, like the FizzBuzz type provider.
Right.
So yeah, now I can load this in F# Interactive. I'm going to need F# Interactive.
Okay.
And I'm going to need F# data, which is the namespace where the type providers live.
Okay.
And actually, let's just start by looking at the URL I gave here.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a REST-based service that returns weather information. And one other thing that's in this library is just http.requeststring, a really simple function that takes a URL. And when I call it, it gives me the result as a string. So if we call it,
got it.
We get back some JSON. And now, how do we work with the JSON?
Yeah, usually if you're in F#, you have to sort of build the object first. You have to have a class defined for it. Then you use something like JSON.NET,
yep.
to try to pull it into the object, which it's fairly tedious, because then there might be a change on the other side, and then you'll have to change your object. And then it's tedious.
Yeah. Well, so what we can do here is that we use the JSON type provider. So JSON provider, and here I'm going to put the string in angle brackets. What this says is basically, it's something like static parameter. Uh-huh. It's kind of like when you say list of strings. Here we're saying JSON provider of this sample. And I'm going to call this weather. And so what I've done now is that I defined a type called weather. Mm-hmm. And here this is actually calling weather daily forecast. Well, let's change this to Seattle for Seattle. Mm-hmm. And we want to get JSON back in metric units. Or maybe now that I'm actually doing it here, we can... I think by default it gives me back Kelvin, okay. Which I have no idea yeah. what it means. So metric, we'll get it in Celsius, and we want the forecast for 10 days.
Kelvin is just Celsius minus
270,
plus 300 or 273.
273, yeah. Well, that would be nice.
Yeah.
All right, so the nice thing that happened here is that we can now say weather get sample, mm-hmm. and there's a couple of ways of loading the documents. Get sample is just the easiest one. It takes this URL and loads it again, mm-hmm. and gives us the value.
Is there a way to pass a different URL?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we can do that later, okay. I guess. Let's just start with this one.
Let's do it.
So we get the sample, and again, I'm just doing Alt Enter here. It parsed the JSON, which is not that interesting.
Oh my goodness, and now you don't have to make a class, you don't have to parse the JSON, it's just there. Now I wonder about the encapsulated types, do those work as well?
The nested types.
Yeah, nested types.
Yeah. Yes. So actually, I did make the type, mm-hmm. I just did it with this one line.
I see.
Because if we look at weather, well, if we look here then, okay, city is city, mm-hmm. at the end here there's city, so city is a nested type.
That's cool.
Let's see what country we've got. US. What else do we know? Populate. Does it even give us population? Well, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Then I think we get... the interesting here is this list, because that's an array. So the type provider looks at the sample and it figures out, well, there's a list of things in there. And if we iterate over this, and I'm just going to explore this in a normal imperative way, then we can...
Oh, so it goes really deep into the actual nesting.
It does look at the whole thing.
So the programmer in me is thinking, well, what if these things change? Is your code invariably going to break?
Yeah. So, let's just print something so that we can see... So let's print the daily temperatures. Okay. So that's my forecast here in Celsius. Looks like it will be nicer tomorrow.
That's right.
And then when I leave, it gets ugly.
That's right, when you go back.
Yeah. So you can, all these things like temp and day are based on the sample. Mm-hmm. And you can do multiple different things. Like we could take this sample and save it locally. Mm-hmm. And then we have sort of sample for a fixed version of the API. And that would be like one thing that's kind of tricky with this is that you actually can't compile your code when you're on a flight because right. you actually need to get to the sample. Yeah. So you can save it locally and that works. But then the nice thing about just passing in the URL is when the service changes,
you're getting a compile time verification
yeah.
of stuff.
Yeah, so if they stop giving you the temperatures, you'll get a little red squiggly here saying temp is not defined. I guess when you do this with JSON.NET, when the service changes, you'll get some runtime exception when you try to match it into the data. Here you just get the error earlier.
And I've seen results, and this is the other thing about this kind of type provider, is that you also can do a dot, and sometimes there was quotes that would have like countries. What happens when there's like thousands and thousands of that kind of stuff? Is something feels like it's going to break? How does it take care of that?
Yeah, well, so that was actually the World Bank type provider, mm-hmm. which we do have here as well.
Oh, okay.
So I can just straight away and show it. So that was the one with countries mm-hmm. where World Bank has lots of indicators for different countries.
Right.
So I'm from Czech Republic, and we can get the capital, which is Prague. But then we can also look at indicators, and this is where the fun starts.
Interesting.
So they have all these different information about countries, and I guess something easy, like we can look at the population total in the year 2010, and that's something over 10 million.
That's interesting. So what happens when there's a lot of values, though?
Well, so here, this one indicator actually represents a time series, and that might have a lot of values, but that's only just at runtime. But the thing that we have here is that the provider just generates something like thousands of different properties on the type.
I see.
And here it just sort of produces all of them because apparently Visual Studio can handle it.
Yeah, although, looks like.
Yeah, yeah. You have to scroll for a really long time, and I was holding page down.
Right.
But if you have something that's more complicated, then the structure is provided lazily.
I see. So if you have like a table storage provider, Azure table storage provider, and you're looking at millions of rows, it's only going to pull them as it needs them when you're scrolling through.
Well, I guess you would probably just provide the row as a single type.
Yeah.
But you could build the type provider for the whole internet, where you point it to some website, it starts from there, gives you links to other websites in your types.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then just goes to the website.
And then every time you do a dot, it'll just say, okay, I need all the links that were on this page.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
There's an amazing sample of this, the choose your own adventure type provider, which basically you start with game dot, and then it tells you in the tooltip, it tells you you're in a place in front of a door. What do you want to do? Dot. And you can say go left,
that's cool.
Go right, open the door, dot. Then it tells you in the tooltip what's the new situation.
That's and so
this is all lazily providing probably infinitely sized type.
And it feels like now language is sort of mixing into the actual data of what is going on.
Yeah.
Which is very powerful.
Well, it's just incredible that language has always ignored the data because most applications work with data.
Right.
And so you just need to make it a first class construct in the language.
That's cool. Well, thanks so much for spending some time on type providers. We have one more video we're gonna make on some shiny stuff, but this is really cool that we're able to actually work with data as part of a language construct. Anything else you wanna add about type providers?
I think they are just amazing. That's the only thing to add.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you guys next time. Take care.